States versus Curtis, Mr. Maximovich.
May it please the court, I'm John Maximovich and I'm representing Mr. William Curtis. From the summer of 1995 to July of 1998, a man by the name of Ty Allen distributed crack in Gary, Indiana in the Midtown section. He provided crack to individuals that were interested in purchasing crack, and he also provided locations for these individuals from which to sell their crack. Basically, what Mr. Allen would do, he had several individuals that he identified in court as his workers who he would front crack to and allow them to sell the crack from his crack houses on 22nd Avenue in Gary, Indiana, and he would pay them for distributing his crack by allowing them to keep 50% of the sales receipts or by fronting them a couple of additional free bags of crack.
Mr. Maximovich, I take it that you're presenting your argument about the sufficiency of the evidence, which I certainly understand you've presented in the brief, but I wonder, because time is short, if I could ask you to respond to the government's argument that these two 924J1 convictions don't really make any difference anyway because these are consecutive life sentences. Do you agree that the plain error doctrine can allow us to just ignore that issue?
My first response would be that Mr. Curtis did not join the conspiratorial agreement, so both of those counts should be reversed. Secondly, in terms of penalty, it may not have an effect on the time that the defendant spends in prison. He received three life sentences plus 480 years plus 60 years.
How old is he?
22.
Does it matter?
He's a very young man, Your Honor.
Okay.
And initially during the trial, I did not realize and did not notice that these 924J counts each need to be predicated upon a separate drug trafficking offense.
Well, where do you get that from? I mean, this issue troubles me because it certainly is a statute that has a predicate element to it, namely that a 924C offense has occurred. But I don't see why, under normal double jeopardy ideas and the like, the fact that on completely different days you kill completely different people, that doesn't make it a separate offense, even if one element does happen to be common to the two. There's another element that isn't common. Maybe you can explain that to me, but it seems to me, under fairly standard analysis, that makes them two different offenses.
Well, I believe what my research indicated to me was each 924C count had to be predicated upon a separate drug trafficking offense, and the additional fact of intentional killing is like a sentence enhancer rather than an element of the offense. And it seemed that in applying 924C, several uses of a gun that's hooked to the same underlying drug trafficking offense, my understanding of the cases is that it constitutes just one offense.
So that's true for 924C, but of course his convictions, he's got the two 924J1 convictions. And I'm saying, let's suppose the exact same 924C conviction is the predicate for each of two different 924J1 convictions. Why should that matter? That's not at least the issue that that this court was looking at in Caput. It's a different issue. Anyway, I mean, I don't mean to run into your rebuttal time, but it's...
Possibly. It just seemed to me that it was one underlying drug trafficking offense.
So if the conspiracy went on for 3 years and he killed 100 people, it's still just one 924J1 conviction?
Admittedly, that doesn't seem to make sense, but that's the way that I read the cases.
Okay.
Getting back to...
Thank you. Your time has expired, Mr. Maxson.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Stacci?
May it please the Court, Your Honor, Attorney Paul Stracci on behalf of Defendant Jamel Roussan. I have two issues which I would like to address. I believe one of those issues you've already dealt with Mr. Maximovich, and as our time is short, I'll move to the second issue. And that is basically, well, at first, before I go there, if I may just address the issue that it appears to me that in Caput, although clearly the court is correct, that's a 924C, these are 924J counts, the court has pointed out that obviously it would be ridiculous for someone to basically have almost immunity for numerous killings as long as the conspiracy is alleged to have been the same. But it appears to me that under Caput and my argument here that the cases or the situation must be somehow different for that underlying offense. And the conspiracy here is a very short-term conspiracy, which we're talking about, I believe, 1996 through some portion of through 1998. Mr. Curtis is believed to be in the conspiracy and then taking a hiatus therefrom. Certainly, the government would argue that he may never have actually left the conspiracy under the law. It would appear to me, though, that the 924J counts were not properly charged, that there was some degree of... and that clearly, if they're not properly charged, then it would result in the defendant doing an entire additional life sentence. Now, granted, he's only got one life. He can only live so many years. But down the line, there may be additional post-conviction remedies available to the defendant. And therefore, if in fact the 924J count is not properly charged, and it has resulted in an additional consecutive life sentence as opposed to an additional concurrent life sentence, clearly... that would be plain error, and then it falls to the court's discretion as to what to do at that point. I believe that it would certainly be a violation of double jeopardy to be allowed to stand. That would be unfair. I think would it impugn the integrity and the reputation of the system for someone to have an additional consecutive term of life. Additionally, on the second issue, and that issue is whether or not basically there was sufficient evidence to sustain convictions of Curtis and Roussan for 924J1 offenses involving the murder of Omar King. Your Honors, certainly it's well settled under Wong Sun that a defendant's statement alone are insufficient to convict that individual.
But there was all sorts of corroborating evidence here.
There was some corroborating evidence, Your Honor.
So we don't have a Wong Sun kind of problem, do we?
Well, I think that to a degree we do, and even more so because if you have a defendant who comes forward and makes a statement to law enforcement, a written statement, a recorded statement, a statement where Miranda rights are waived, or in fact gets up and testifies, as opposed to what we have here, which I think is far less reliable, and that's two snitches, both co-defendants, coming forward, and frankly, I mean, we have corroboration on a red car, that's correct. Again, this testimony, though, is coming from co-defendants, and their reliability and the reliability of that evidence is, I believe, clearly an issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stracey. Mr. Baker?
May it please the Court, I'm Andrew Baker on behalf of the United States. We believe the evidence is sufficient to establish the charges in this case and that the life sentences don't make a difference.
But they do, Mr. Baker. At a minimum, under this court's law, every time you're convicted on a different count, you pay a special assessment of $100. And so if you look at the judgment, for instance, of Mr. Curtis, part of it says it's ordered that the defendant shall pay a special assessment of $600 for all of these counts. And we have cases where we have entertained challenges to convictions where not to say that this is what Mr. Curtis is looking for, $100 back, but the fact of the matter is we do have cases. It makes a difference.
I understand.
I don't see how we can just sort of blow it off unless the government is just waiving the point and saying that we can give him his $100 back and not worry about it.
I don't know that there's different issues that I think arise in that area. One is whether or not there's still a controversy whether you have consecutive sentences with justified review of that conviction where it's properly raised. I don't know that a $100 special assessment arises to the level of a miscarriage of justice and plain
error.
Our
cases have said that is enough to require review. Now, perhaps we should revisit those cases, but
well,
it's in fact the case sometimes. We will look at a situation like this and we'll say, well, at a minimum, we've got to vacate, you know, the conviction on count X, and we'll give him his $100 back and send it back to fix up the sentence. It's not much, but as your opponents point out, sometimes there are later developments, and who knows what's going to happen in the next 40 years.
But even if Mr. Rousen argued, would be all right then if it's concurrent. I mean, the whole point is all he's going to serve is life if everything gets set aside. But both those two convictions, he's still serving just life.
But I'm not satisfied with that as an answer from the government. It seems to me that the question whether 924J allows the same subsection C violation to serve as the predicate for two different offenses is before us. And you haven't really briefed it at all, so maybe it's the position of the United States that the defendants are correct on this one.
That was our our position was simply that it's to oppose it on the grounds of plain error. Under 924C, if you can't prosecute for the second gun offense, the defendant has, in essence, under the prior law, immunity for all subsequent uses of firearms, going a 3-year, 30-year,
no,
whatever
doesn't.
Drug
There's
conspiracy.
There's a lot of other things you can charge him on.
True, and but you can't charge him for the use of the multiple uses of the guns just during the conspiracy. Here, they charged the charge was multiple 924J offenses on acts a month apart with different firearms in the course of the same conspiracy, not in other offenses. They could have been charged,
well,
one could have been charged with a possession
people.
Offense.
I'm looking at 924J right now, which says the person who, in the course of a violation of subsection C, causes the death of a person through the use of a firearm, then it goes on and specifies penalties. So I'm just surprised that you're close to saying that you can kill as many people as you want to as long as there's just one subsection C offense.
It'd be a different case if, for example, they had shot King and Hanyard with the same use of the gun.
Why?
Because you know, that's one 924C offense.
But it's not one causing of the death of a person.
During a 924C offense. There only is, as we saw, only one 924C offense. Unless the court has
okay, thank
any
you,
further questions about the other issues.
And thank you to Mr. Maximovich and Mr. Strachey. And you were appointed, were you not?